I wonder whether you've ever walked into church and wondered, why do we do that? Why do we sit in rows? Why do we sing hymns? Why do we hear the organ played? Why do we pray? Why do we read the Bible? Who is this guy walking into this room speaking to us now? But why do we do all these things? Why do we have tea and coffee afterwards? Why do we have home groups? Why do we do church the way we do? I want us to focus particularly on the why around the Bible. Why is it that throughout the ages, no matter what denomination you go to, no matter what sort of a church it is, the Bible has always been at the heart of Christian worship. And a part of that is, we considered earlier, because we believe that the Bible is God's word to us. And as we move through Nehemiah chapter 8, I think we'll see something of why the Bible is important and why we have it open, why we learn from it, why we study it, why we hear it preached. And the first thing to note is that actually each time we open up the Bible, it is an act of worship. It is an act of worship. In verse 5, we read that as Ezra stood there on the platform high above the people, they all kept their eyes fixed on him. As soon as he opened the book, they all stood up. Ezra said, "Praise the Lord, the great God." And all the people raised their arms in the air and answered, "Amen, amen." They knelt in worship with their faces to the ground. Each time we open this Bible, whether alone in our homes, or whether in small groups, perhaps in home groups, or with others, or here on a Sunday morning, each time we open this book, it is an act of worship to our God. And we'll begin to see why it's an act of worship. But I think it's important to start there, to remember that we're not just studying any old book. There is something different about studying the Bible to studying perhaps poetry or Shakespeare or even considering the latest hit novel that's come out. There is something special about the fact that when we open the Bible, we do it as an act of worship to the God who we believe has spoken to us. So what's happening here in Nehemiah chapter 8? Well, the people of God, the people of Israel, have been in exile. You'll know that they moved from Egypt towards the promised land with Moses and Joshua. They lived in Canaan, the promised land. And then after a number of years, a number of generations and kings, they were taken into exile by a foreign power into Babylon. And slowly, over the years, the Israelites were allowed back in towards their own land and towards the city of Jerusalem. The problem was that Jerusalem had been all but demolished. The walls had been torn down. We read later in Nehemiah that even after the walls are rebuilt, there were barely any houses within the city. It had been laid waste. And here in Nehemiah chapter 8, the wall has just been reconstructed, and the people have been rallied, resources have been gathered, and the wall has been rebuilt around Jerusalem, their capital city, and they're beginning to regain something of their national identity. They're beginning to regain something of their own independence of some sort. And the question is being asked, well, what sort of people are we? For so many years, we've been in exile, we've been in and amongst foreign nations, and we've grown up in their culture, we've taken on their values and what they think is important. But now that we're back in Jerusalem, what makes us, us? For the Americans, perhaps it'd be the American Constitution. For the Brits, well, we don't quite have a constitution, but perhaps something to do with Parliament, or we'd look back to the monarchy over the years as shaping something of our identity. Maybe it's cups of tea. That's what makes the Brits, Brits. what is it that makes the Israelites the Israelites? And the first thing they turn to is the Bible. And not they don't sit around and vote. They don't democratize. Is that even a word? They don't look simply to their tradition. They don't look to the latest sociological reasoning or the latest science reports as to how best to run their nation and how best to live in a life of society together. They turn to the scriptures. And as we consider the Bible, I think we'll see three things that the Bible is, which is the reason for which they turn to the Bible. Three things that the Bible is. The first is that the Bible is revelation. The Bible is revelation to us. Revelation is really just a bigger word for the word reveal. The Bible is revealed knowledge to us. And that's at the heart of all Christianity. We had in the first reading of 2 Peter that no prophetic message ever came just from the will of man. But men were under the control of the Holy Spirit as they spoke the message that came from God. The Bible is revealed knowledge. Knowledge given to us. Knowledge which we otherwise could not have. Some people, you may have heard, some philosophers have spoken of the blind men and the elephant. Have you guys heard of the blind men and the elephant? No. Well, it's this idea that if you have seven blind men, and imagine they've never seen an elephant before, right, and you task these seven men, blind, to tell you something about this elephant, well, the first one might go forward and start touching this elephant and say, oh, well, it's quite long and hard and it wriggles around a bit, kind of like a snake, but thicker. He's obviously got the trunk. The second man might get round the legs of the elephant and say, oh, well, actually, I think it's a bit more like a tree trunk, but it's kind of slightly wrinkly, as you know, elephant's skin is a little bit, and so on and so forth. These seven men, each describing a different part of the elephant. And what philosophers like to say is that, well, actually, even though each man, each blind person, describes the elephant differently, they've all got something of the truth, because each one is describing something that's true about the elephant, even though a different part. Whereas I think when we come to the Bible, actually, I'm not sure that scheme of understanding knowledge works, because the Bible is revelation, because it's revealed knowledge to us. Another one that I've heard, which I think is probably more helpful for us to think about knowledge and understanding of God, is to think about a room and a box of a room. There's nothing in it, and it's in pitch dark blackness. Pitch black darkness, I think is probably what I was trying to say. It's pitch black. There's nothing in there. You cannot see. You cannot hear anything. And we find ourselves alone in that box. If there was a light, perhaps one great shining light bulb lit in the middle of the room, then we've smashed it. And that's where we find ourselves. And the Bible says that we are blind. So often Jesus' miracles and his interactions with people was dealing with those who were blind. And not someone blind who's able to feel and to touch something of an elephant, but a blind man in a box of a dark room with no hope of seeing or understanding anything. Or in other words, spiritually, the Bible says, we're dead. We cannot understand or see or know anything until God comes and God speaks. And that's part of the thrill of Christmas, isn't it? That God, who was far, far away, who we knew on one level nothing about, well, he comes down and he makes himself known to us. And that's what the Bible is all about. As Jesus is spoken of as the Word of God, so also the Word of God in the Bible is God coming down to us and speaking to us. Where we were in a locked, dark, black box with no light, no hope of leaving it, God enters in and he says, let me speak to you the truth. One last imagery. You would never be able to tell me anything about my dad because you've not met him. The only way you would know something about my dad is if someone who knew him like myself, came and told you about him. No amount of reasoning or democracy or trying to search in this country would tell you anything about him because, well, he's not here. But I could tell you because I have seen him. And so we know nothing of God except when he comes and he speaks to us. So the first thing is the Bible is revelation, revealed knowledge to us. The second thing about the Bible, and I think this one's really, really exciting, is that the Bible is simple. The Bible is simple. I think sometimes there's this idea that there are all these things going on, and well, all these names which are very hard to pronounce, and all these laws which we don't really understand why they're there, and all these different stories of wars and battles and things going on, and kings and exile, and what's all happening? And we have this idea that, oh, maybe the Bible's really complicated. It's really hard for us to understand. But as we work through Nehemiah 8, we see that people of all ages were brought before the Bible to hear it read out, to hear it spoken. And then, yes, there is the role of that some to make it understood to the people. But I don't think there's any sense in which, without these professionals, they had no understanding whatsoever of the scriptures. The fact that we have the Bible in English is because there were people who thought the Bible was simple. William Tyndale, back 500 odd years ago, he was convinced that the Bible needed to be placed in the hands of every man, woman, and child in the country in a way that they could understand. Prior to that, it was in a translation that most people didn't understand. Even the priests didn't really know what it was saying. And they were making up all sorts of things in order to keep people under their control. And William Tyndale said to one of these priests, by God's grace, an uneducated child will know more of the scriptures than you. Because he was convinced, utterly convinced, that the Bible needed to be put in simple, plain, understood language of the people, put in their hands, and for them to find there the revealed knowledge and will of God. To find in it the salvation that comes from the Lord Jesus for everyone to read and to understand. The Bible is simple. Sure, there's a lot to it. It is a big book. Sure, there is a place for those who have studied it to explain it and to teach it. But the Bible was made for us. Jesus says, "Let the little children come to me." And so it makes sense that the Bible, God's word to us, would be given in such a way that even a child should be able to make sense of and learn the truths found therein. The third thing that the Bible is, so we've seen that the Bible is revelation, revealed knowledge, the Bible is simple, and the Bible is about Jesus. The Bible is about Jesus. At the heart of it all the stories, all the narratives, all the laws, all the sacrifices, all the things that go on, it's all about the Lord Jesus. And that means that the whole Bible is useful. Each and every page, each and every story, if it builds up for us a picture of what God is like, the way he acts and interacts with humanity, then each and every page is useful. You'll remember the story of Jesus after his resurrection. We're coming up to Easter, actually, a few weeks away, aren't we? So we'll probably cover this shortly after Easter. But as a couple of his disciples are walking with him to Emmaus. Do you remember the Emmaus Road? Jesus is speaking to these two disciples, and we're told that beginning with the law and the prophets, Jesus explained to them everything which was said about himself in all the scriptures. That's what Jesus does when he opens the Bible. He says, look, it's all about me. It's all about my love for you. My longing to save you and to rescue you, my invitation for you to follow in my ways. All the scriptures are about that. So, three things which the Bible is. It's God's revealed will to us. It's simple. And it's simple because it's simply about the Lord Jesus. But as we read the Bible, what does the Bible do? And we'll just quickly think about this. What does the Bible do? Two things that the Bible does. And the first, and we see it here in Nehemiah chapter 8. The first thing, you'll probably remember from the reading, verse 9, when the people heard what the law required, they were so moved that they began to cry. They began to cry, they wept. Why? Because the first thing that the Bible does, as we read it, as we consider God's revealed wisdom and knowledge to us, as we look at the Lord Jesus, the first thing we see is that the Bible is a bit of a mirror. The Bible is a bit of a mirror. If you look at photos, we've got loads of photos. My wife loves putting photos around the room. The interesting thing is, when people look at photos, who do they look for first? And what do they see when they see that person? Well, they look for themselves, and they see every flaw, don't they? Oh, my hair wasn't great on that. Oh, I've got a bit of dirt on my shoulder. That no one else sees it except yourself. And the Bible is a little bit like that. That as we consider it, as we see what Jesus is like, as we see the picture of the Bible, what we see is we see ourselves. And we don't always like what we see. Because we know, don't we, that we're not the people that we want to be. You're not the son or the daughter that you want to be. You're not the husband or wife that you want to be. You're not the friend that you want to be. You're not the parent or the grandparent that you want to be. There are times in which we fail to live up to our own standards. And as we look to the Bible, we see that there are times when we fail to live up to God's standards. As we read the Bible, as the people in Nehemiah's day read the Bible, they wept because they saw how far they had fallen from the ways of God. That's the first thing that the Bible does. It's a mirror showing us ourselves. Society would tell us otherwise. Society would tell us that basically we're pretty good people. And we sometimes like to think of ourselves that way, don't we? That we're pretty good by and large. We might do some things wrong, but we're not the worst kind of person out there. We're pretty good. The Bible's not quite so kind in its analysis of us. We have sinned. We have fallen. We have walked away from God's ways. And so the Bible is a mirror showing to us, making known to us our sin. But how does Nehemiah respond when the people weep? This day is holy to the Lord your God, so you are not to mourn or cry. And not only that, but now go home, have a feast. Share your food and wine with those who haven't enough. Today is holy to our Lord, so don't be sad. The joy that the Lord gives you will make you strong. The joy that the Lord gives will make you strong. You see, if the Bible simply points out that we're sinful, that we're horrible, then, well, we'd be stuffed. But the Bible doesn't stop there. Because remember, the Bible is all about Jesus. It's not all about us. Yes, it does act as a mirror. It does show us where we've fallen short of our own standards and the standards of the one who made us. But the Bible, because it's all about Jesus, then lifts our eyes, not to look at ourselves only, but to look to the Lord Jesus. And what do we see when we see the Lord Jesus? We see the one who went to the cross. We see the one who says, yeah, I know you're not perfect. I know that you're not the best person you could be. I know you've stuffed up. I know you've got skeletons in the closet that you hope no one would ever know about. I know about them. I know everything you've ever done or said or thought. And I'll go to the cross for you. look to me. Don't wallow in your sorrow and sadness. Don't keep crying. Celebrate, rejoice, be joyful because of what the Lord Jesus does for you. The Bible acts as a mirror pointing us to ourselves, and then very quickly we're to lift our eyes to the Lord Jesus and see him revealed to us, the one who goes to the cross to bear our sin and our shame and our sorrow, the one who conquers death and gives us a new life. The Bible is God's revelation to us. The Bible is simple. The Bible is all about Jesus. And as we open it, we see ourselves, we see our sin. But as we continue to look into that mirror, it lifts our eyes to see the one who deals with, who takes away our sin. And so I want to encourage you to look forward to the Bible being opened. Whether each morning when you wake up, before you go to sleep at night, whenever you open up the Bible yourself, look forward to the times when you gather together and the scripture is opened before you. Look forward to these times on a Sunday morning when the Bible is brought towards us and opened for us. And the Lord Jesus, a friend of mine used to use this phrase, when the Lord Jesus walks off the pages of scripture and confronts us with his glory and his wonder. And look forward to opening it with others. Look forward to sharing the wonderful news that we find here with our friends and our families, with our neighbors. Look forward to any opportunity to worship God when we open the scriptures, to be full of joy because the Lord gives us strength and the Lord walks with us. Why don't I pray for us and ask for God's blessing on us day by day as we open up his word.